minister there in 2 Kings 18. And of course, we just heard a long chapter about a very famous king, King Hezekiah. And what we read about this man is that this man was a very good king, the Bible says. Look at verse number 3 again. It says, notice, and he, this is Hezekiah, it says, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. So right off the bat, we see that God tells us that King Hezekiah, he was a good king. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Not just that, Hezekiah was a man who sought the Lord in his life. Verse 4, it says, notice, he, Hezekiah, again, removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. And notice what it says in verse 5 about this man. It says, notice, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. It says, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. See, Hezekiah was the man who actually stood out to the Lord. The Bible says that Hezekiah, he trusted the Lord so much that there was no king like King Hezekiah before or after him. Notice verse 6, it says, for he clave to the Lord. It says, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. So you see, Hezekiah was a very good king. And so good that God said, you know what, there's no king like King Hezekiah who trusted in the Lord. But I want you to notice there's a phrase in verse number 7 that I want to focus on tonight. In verse 7, it says this about this man. It says, and the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. See, the Bible says that the Lord, he was with Hezekiah. He was with him, and as a result, it says that he prospered him whithersoever he went. See, your desire tonight and my desire ought to be that the Lord would be with you, amen, that the Lord would be with me, and that he would prosper us whithersoever we go in our life. And you know, when we think about that phrase, it says that the Lord was with him. You know, we often think that Hezekiah must live a life of ease, of comfort. There was no troubles. But look, when the Lord is with you, it does not mean you will live an easy life. Because look, in your life, look, you will struggle. You will go through hard times. You'll go through tribulations. But when the Lord is with you, guess what? He can prosper you. He can see you through. And here we have the example of Hezekiah, who says that the Lord was with him, and as a result, he prospered him. Key place here in 2 Kings 18. We go quickly to Genesis 39. Genesis chapter 39. So your desire and my desire should be to be like Hezekiah, where God would look at you and he would look at me and says, you know, I am with this person. But we shouldn't get this idea that because God is with us that we are not going to go through hard times. Genesis 39, I want you to just quickly look at another example, another man who the Bible says that God was with him. Here we have Joseph in verse 21 of Genesis 39. Here we have Joseph, notice, in prison. But notice what it says in verse 21 of Genesis 39. It says, notice, but the Lord was with Joseph. Here we have a young man going to prison, and you think, you know, he must be suffering, going through hard times, but it says, no, God was with him. And as a result, what does God do? It says, notice, and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. See, Joseph was another man in the Bible who the Lord was with him, and as a result, God is what? He gave him mercy. You know what is that? That's grace. That's compassion. He gave him favor through the hard times, through the tribulation. See, we want God to be with us because why? Yes, you will go through hard times. You will go through difficulties, but God can see you through. In your life, God can give you mercy and grace. God can give you favor. God can prosper you in whatever it is that you're going through in your life. Go to Psalm 35. Go to Psalm chapter 35. And what you must understand tonight is that, look, God wants to help you. And see, we often think that because we're going through hard times or because we're struggling in life, that somehow God is not there for us or he's not helping us. But no, God can be with you through the struggles and he can see you through to the end and help you prosper in your life. Psalm 35, notice verse number 36, verse 26. Psalm 35, 26, the Bible says, let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together. Notice, that rejoice at mine hurt. So you have the psalmist saying that he's going through pain. He's going through suffering. There's people rejoicing at his hurt. It says, let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Here the psalmist saying, look, there are enemies who are attacking me. There are people who are against me. He's going through suffering. There are people rejoicing at his hurt. But notice what he says in verse 27. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Notice what it says, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. See, the Bible says that God has pleasure when his servants, who's that? That's you and me. God has pleasure when he sees you through. God has pleasure when he prospers you in your life. See, you and I can be like Hezekiah, where we can say that the Lord is with us, and as a result, he can prosper us. Does that mean that life will be easy? No, life will not be easy. Does that mean that there won't be struggles? No, there will be struggles. There will be hard times. But through those hard times, God can see you through. God can prosper you. He can show you mercy through those difficulties. But you know, what is it about Hezekiah? Because look, the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't just choose to be with someone. Look, there's some things about Hezekiah that God made him say that the Lord was with him and prospered him. So tonight, I want to point out three things about Hezekiah's character, about the character of this man that you and I need to apply in our lives that I believe made him stand out to God, and that I believe is the reason why God said that the Lord was with him. Go if you go to 2 Chronicles 29, 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And we see God being with Hezekiah. And there's three things about this man that I want to point out to you. And the first thing is that Hezekiah was a man who put first things first. Hezekiah, as we'll see in the story, was a man of priorities, was a man knew how to put first things first in his life. 2 Chronicles 29, look at verse number 2. It says, notice, and he, this is Hezekiah, it says, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Notice what it says. It says, he, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Here we have Hezekiah coming to power. And what's the first order of business, King Hezekiah? Is it to build you a monument? Is it to make sure the economy's fixed? Is it to help you build a kingdom, to build an army? No, first order of business is let's get back to church. Amen. Is open up the house of the Lord. It says in the first year of his month, he does what? He opens the house of the Lord and he repairs him. See, there was an urgency for this man to get back to the house of God. Look at verse number 17. Notice what it says. And they began, notice, on the first day of the first month to sanctify it. And on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord, so that they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. And in the 16th day of the first month, they made an end. Notice, no wasting time. There's urgency to get back to the house of God. There's urgency to fix the house of the Lord. And look, I'm telling you tonight that there is urgency to get back to the house of God. Amen. Look, you ought to have a goal this year to put first things first in your life and make church a priority in your life. Amen. Look, this is Wednesday night service. So all of us shouldn't have a problem saying, you know what, I'm going to be faithful to every single service this year in 2022. Right. That should be a goal for all of us. Look, priorities, putting first things first. We have Hezekiah. Why was God helping him? You know, I wonder if God was helping him in his life, helping him prosper, succeed, because he had the right priorities in his life. Look at verse number 30. Here we have Hezekiah prioritizing the praising of the Lord in verse number 30. It says, moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness. And they bowed their heads, notice, and worshiped. See, praising the Lord, singing the hymns, this is pretty important to King Hezekiah. He's commanding the Levites, say, hey, let's sing praises to God. And look, you got to just have this goal to where you prioritize the house of God and the praise of God in your life. Look at verse number 35. Here have Hezekiah prioritizing, notice, pleasing the Lord. In verse 35, he says, notice, and also the burnt offerings were in abundance with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. Notice, so the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. Verse 36, and Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that God had prepared the people. Notice what it says. It says, for the thing was done, notice, suddenly. See, Hezekiah wasn't wasting any time. Look, as Christians, we should just do things suddenly. Make decisions right away. Look, if you know you ought to do something, the time to do it is now. Amen. Don't waste time. Look, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not to him in his sin. Hezekiah wasn't wasting time. First order of business, let's get back into church. Amen. So just decide, look, don't waste time. Decide, I'm going to be in the house of God every time the doors open. Why? Because first things first, we prioritize the house of God. Keep place there in 2 Chronicles. Go to Hebrews 10, if you could. Hebrews chapter 10. And look, there's an urgency today for the house of God. Look, church is more important today than it ever has been in the past. Go to Hebrews 10, if you could. Hebrews chapter 10. There's an urgency not just to be in church, but to stay in church. Not just to stay in church, but there's an urgency to get other people to come to church. Amen. Hebrews 10, look at verse number 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Notice, without wavering. That's moving around, being unstable. It says, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, notice, but exhorting one another. And notice what the Bible says. It says, and so much the more. Amen. You know, what is that? That's urgency. The Bible's saying that church is more important today than it was yesterday. Church is more important this coming Sunday than it is today. Look, there is urgency to be in church. There's urgency in the house of God. It says, and so much the more. Notice, as you see the day approaching. Because the truth is, look, you're going to struggle this year. Look, we're going to go through hard times. But look, how will you get God's favor in your life? How will you prosper in your life? Look, you will prosper when you decide to put first things first in your life and set the house of God above on your list. Make that a priority. Because look, if you want God to prosper you, to show you mercy, to show you grace, when you're going through hard times, look, show them that you need it. And we show them that we need it. Why? But by being in church. Because we need the Lord in our life. We need the preaching of the word of God. We need him to help us. And look, this is how God will see us through the obstacles. Go to Psalm 27, if you would. Psalm chapter number 27. And so, look, you ought to commit to be faithful in the house of God this year. And have the right priorities in your life. Look, this is why when you come to church, sometimes you feel like you hear the same preaching over and over. You know, and it's pretty basic. And we need it again and again and again. Why? Because, look, naturally, when we're not in church, when we're walking in the world, naturally our priorities just kind of get out of whack. Naturally, something else becomes more important. Naturally, we don't think about the things of God. And so that's why it's going to be in church and to remind us that, look, in life, we need to have the right priorities, put first things first, and prioritize the house of God. Psalm 27, verse number 4. Notice what David says. He says, notice, one thing have I desired of the Lord. I like how David said, you know, one thing. Here we have David putting first things first. It says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. It says, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, notice, all the days of my life. Amen. Yes, a great prayer. A great prayer ought to be for us to say, you know what, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And notice what he says in verse 5. It says, notice, for in the time of, notice, trouble. See, we think, well, if the Lord's with me, surely there won't be any trouble. Surely life will be easy. No, David's saying, look, the priority is to be in the house of God. Why? Because look, there will be trouble in life. It says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. Notice, he says, he shall set me upon a rock. See, David is saying, even though I'm struggling, he says, you know what? God can prosper me. God can help me succeed. He said, he shall set me up upon a rock. And look, this year, you're going to go through struggles. And as we're going to see, Hezekiah was a man who was faced with trials and tribulations. But the Bible says that God prospered him whithersoever he went. And look, isn't this what we want in our lives? In the areas that we're struggling in, don't we want God to prosper us, to help us, to show us grace and favor, to help us succeed in life? And how's it done? It's done by you prioritizing the things of God and by you prioritizing the house of God. But not just that, we see that Hezekiah, go to 2 Chronicles 30. Hezekiah was a man who wanted other people to put first things first. And look, your desire, my desire should be that not only do we have the right priorities, but we're willing and able to help other people get their priorities right as well. Hezekiah, we'll see, is a man who actually had a heart for helping other people put first things first in their life as well. 2 Chronicles 30, look at verse number 1. It says, and Hezekiah, notice, sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh. Here we have Hezekiah. He's letting people know, hey, the house of God is open. Church is open. Let me tell everyone to come to church. It says, he sent letters to all Israel and Judah, wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh. Notice that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. And, you know, I understand where he's coming from. Because, look, when you have a sincere heart for the Lord, when you want to be in church, your desire is to get other people in church as well. It's to see other people put first things first. This is why, like, when you come to church, our pastor's always trying to tell us to put first things first. Get the right priorities in life. Why? Because when you know it's what's best for you, then that's what you should be doing. And you want other people to benefit. Look, when you know God can help you through everything, then what we must do is put him first and allow him to be number one. And we have Hezekiah letting people know, hey, come to church, get back in the house of the Lord. Notice verse 6, it says, notice, so the post went out with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, notice, ye children of Israel, notice, turn again. He's saying, get back in church. Turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, Hezekiah is saying, look, get right with God. And how's he saying get right with God? Is he saying, just go read your Bible, just go pray by yourself? Look, yeah, do those things, but he's saying, you know what, get back in church. Get back in the house of God. Look, God can help you. It says in verse number 7, he says, notice, and be not like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespass against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. Look, he's pleading with them. He's saying, don't be like your fathers. Don't be like your brethren. Verse number 8, notice, and be not stiff-necked. That's a bad thing when you're stiff-necked and you're unwilling to move. You know, the preaching of the word of God is going on and you're just the same. You come to church week in and week out and there's absolutely no change. There's no growth. Well, that's being stiff-necked. That's not moving. That's not growing. But he's saying, look, don't be stiff-necked as your fathers were. Notice, but yield yourselves unto the Lord. He's saying, just submit yourselves unto God. Notice what he says in verse 8, and enter into his sanctuary. He's saying, look, get back in church. Prioritize the things of God. Get back in the house of God, which he hath sanctified forever. Notice, and serve the Lord your God. Notice, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. See, Hezekiah knew that the reason why there was judgment is because the people turned away from the Lord. And Hezekiah, because he has a heart for his people, he says, look, I want God to help you. I want God to prosper you. I want God to help you succeed. And what you need to do is get back in church. Be in the house of God. Get first things first. Get the right priorities. And look, and you and I would think, well, surely people are just going to be flocking back to church. And here you have King Hezekiah. You know, the house of the Lord is open. Church is open. You'd think, man, people are going to be up in arms, just rushing to get back in there. But notice the response to verse number 10. It says, so the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even into Zebulun. Notice what it says. It says, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked. You know, what a sad statement. When Hezekiah just repaired the house of the Lord, church is open. He says, hey, everyone, let me send this message out to you. Get back in church. What a basic message, right? And what do some people do? They just laugh and scorn. They're like, oh, another sermon on church, on the importance of church. Well, it seems like it's pretty important to God, right? But here we have people just mocking and laughing, being stiff-necked, saying, no, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to move. This is just who I am. What a sad statement. And sadly, this is how it is. This is how it is. You know, when you preach the word of God, sadly, people will mock. People will scorn. They just won't change. But luckily, there's always a few who do. Luckily, while some people, they mock and they scorn, they make light of something so basic, yet something so vital in their life, like church, some people actually listen and take it to heart. Notice verse number 11. It says, notice, nevertheless, it says, divers of Asher, Manasseh, and of Zebulun, notice, humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. See, some people mocked and laughed and ridiculed. What a basic message. Hezekiah, church, are you kidding me? We have more important things in our life. Don't you know that the football is on? Don't you know that the TV shows are on? Don't you know that sports games are on? Hezekiah, there's things more important than church. But luckily, you know what? Some people were humble enough to realize, you know what? Yeah, I need church in my life. I'm going to get back to church. Go keep your place in 2 Chronicles. Go to Matthew 6, if you would, Matthew chapter 6. You know, I'm encouraged working for the church. You know, I can look at the emails and I get a response to emails. And it's encouraging knowing that, you know, emails come in from all over this country, all over the world, thanking our pastor for the help that his sermons can do. And it's a reminder that, you know what, while some people may never change, may never move, they're stiff-necked, they're hard-hearted, they don't want to change, they mock and they scorn, nevertheless, divers from all over the world, they're emailing us, saying, you know what, that was a blessing. Saying, you know what, that helped me. Saying, you know what, I'm applying this to my life. Look, that's encouraging to me. Knowing that people out there, they're doing what, they're putting first things first in their life. You see, what would Jesus want? What are Jesus' priorities? Matthew 6, look at verse number 33. Matthew 6, 33. It's such a basic concept. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. You say, what are Jesus' priorities for me? What are his first things first for my life? It says, notice, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And we see the character of Hezekiah, a man who had the right priorities in his life. He becomes king, first order of business, let's get the house of God in order. Look, and if you're a man and you rule your house, look, you got to set that example for your family. Now, you and your family, look, you prioritize the house of God. And here we see Jesus doing what? Saying, hey, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And Hezekiah, having a heart for people, the urgency in this man, says, you know what? You need to come to church as well. And like, when we got soul winning, that is the urgency that we need to have. Like, people out there, they need to get saved, but they also need to come to church. We need to show them that urgency. And look, when you go out there, don't tell people, hey, I'm not trying to take you from your church, because that's what I'm trying to do. Like, I want to get them saved, and I want to get them out of whatever garbage church they're in, get them in here. Where we can actually help them. Where it's the house of God, where the word of God is preached. Look, there is urgency to be in the house of God today, and there's more urgency tomorrow. And you got to have that urgency for other people when you put first things first and prioritize the house of God. Go back to 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 30. You see, why was the Lord with Hezekiah? Why was the Lord able to help him? Because look, you want God to help you. I want God to help me. I wonder if it's because Hezekiah had the right priorities in his life. I wonder if it's because he actually put first things first. But not just that, we see that Hezekiah was a man who went the extra mile. Not only did he put first things first, but Hezekiah was a man who he went the extra mile. He was able to go above and beyond other people. We see Hezekiah went the extra mile in his walk with the Lord. Look at verse number 23, 2 Chronicles 30, verse 23. Notice what it says. It says, and the whole assembly took counsel, notice what it says, other 7 days. So you have to understand, at this point, Hezekiah and his people, they already had the Passover. They already had the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. But they have such a heart, they want to do more for God. They say, you know what, let's keep another 7 days of this feast. It says, and the whole assembly took counsel, notice, to keep other 7 days. And they kept other 7 days, notice, with gladness. See, they weren't content just doing the minimum. They say, you know what, let's do more. Verse 24, notice, for Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep. See, Hezekiah was a man who was willing to go above and beyond. He was willing to do more. He was willing to go the extra mile. You know, Hezekiah, what he wasn't a bare minimum Christian. He wasn't saying, hey, let's keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days and then we're done. They say, no, let's keep serving the Lord. And he's willing to give the sacrifices. He gave 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep in abundance, willing to go above and beyond. See, he wasn't a bare minimum Christian just doing the minimum. He was willing to go above and beyond. And I wonder why this is why God blessed him. Because he was willing to do more than other people. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, if you would. 1 Corinthians 15, keep your place in 2 Chronicles 30. Like in you and your life, you got to just choose to have the character to go the extra mile, amen, to do more. I mean, Jesus said that if somebody were to compel you to go a mile, it says go with him twain. Amen. He says go the extra mile, do a little bit more. And look, how do you get the grace of God in your life? How do you get God's favor in your life when you're willing and able to start doing more for him? 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse number 10. Here the Apostle Paul speaking in verse number 10, 1 Corinthians 15, 10. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Notice, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Paul is saying that his grace, his favor upon his life. You say, why did God favor Paul so much? It says, notice, but I labored more abundantly than they all. He said, God's grace, which was given unto me, which was bestowed upon me, his favor, it wasn't in vain. It wasn't empty. It wasn't just because my name is Paul. No, it's because I labored more abundantly than they all. See, Paul was a man who was also willing to go the extra mile, to do a little bit more. And God saw this man and said, man, this guy's working for me. I'm going to show him favor. A man who was beaten, who was left for dead, who was shipwrecked. God says, you know what? I'm going to show him favor. And look, in your life, if you want God to be with you, because that's what I want. That's what you should want. For the Lord to be with you and to prosper you. Well, you should just choose to do a little bit more today than yesterday. Look, this year, you got to challenge yourself to go the extra mile, do a little bit more. You say, last year, I read the Bible 0 times. Well, guess what? This year, start and read it once. Amen. Last year, I read it once. Push yourself, do a little bit more, read it twice. Go the extra mile. Do a little bit more. Show God that you're serious, that you want his power upon your life. Because this is how you get the grace of God upon your life. He says, his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. See, God can give you that grace. God can help you. How's it done? Through you laboring more. By you going the extra mile. Go back to 2 Chronicles, if you would. 2 Chronicles 31. We see the character of Hezekiah, who was willing to do what? Who's willing to go the extra mile with his walk with God. But not just that, Hezekiah was willing to go the extra mile in his service for the Lord. 2 Chronicles 31, look at verse number 20. The Bible says, and thus, 2 Chronicles 31, in verse number 20, notice what it says. It says, and thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And notice what it says in verse 21. And in every work that he began, where? In the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God. It says, he did it with all his heart and prospered. See, also that Hezekiah, whatever he did, notice, in the service of the house of God, it says he did it with all his heart, with all his strength, with all his mind. You know what I believe? I believe Hezekiah was the deacon of this church. I believe he'd do it with all his heart, as the Bible says. I believe if he was here in the pew listening to a sermon, I believe he'd listen intently with all his heart to see what God has for him. I believe if he was serving in whatever, if he was cleaning the church, if he was ushering, if he's on the safety team, if he's in the choir, if he's leading the music, whatever he's doing it with all his heart. Amen. We see a man willing to go the extra mile, do a little bit more, be a little bit more. You need to learn to push yourself in the Christian life. Amen. You got to show God that, you know what, God, I want your power upon my life. Amen. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to do that. And if you serve, and if you don't serve, you should find somewhere to serve. Amen. In church. But if you do serve, you should do it with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And show God, you know, God, I need your power upon my life. And we see Hezekiah, he's willing to do it. He's willing to go the extra mile. It says, in the service of the house of God, he did it with all his heart. And notice it says, and prospered. Now I wonder why, if this is why God prospered him whithersoever he went. Because God probably saw, you know, this man is doing these things with all his heart, with all his strength, and I'm going to help him succeed. We see a man willing to go the extra mile. Not just with his walk with the Lord, not just in his service for the Lord, but we see Hezekiah going the extra mile in his battle against sin, in the battle against sin. Go back to 2 Kings 18, if you would, 2 Kings 18. You know, none of us have attained. You know, all of us, there's sin that we all need to deal with in our life. There's always something that we need to work on. You know, the Bible says that you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Look, all of us have more areas in our life that we need to clean up in our lives. Amen. And we see Hezekiah was a man who went the extra mile against sin. It says in verse number 3, 2 Kings 18, verse 3, it says, and he, Hezekiah again, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. I want you to notice what it says in verse 4. It says, he removed, notice, the high places and break the images and cut down the groves. You know what the Bible says about this man, Hezekiah? Is that he actually removes the high places. And look, and if you read the books of the Kings, the books of the Chronicles, you read a lot about the high places. They're constantly coming up. In fact, go if you would to 1 Kings 15. 1 Kings 15. As you read it, look, the high places are always coming up. And we see about Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a man that he actually removed the high places. But as you read your Bible, you'll see that most kings, they don't remove the high places. 1 Kings 15, notice what it says in verse number 14. 1 Kings 15, verse 14, notice what it says about a good king, King Asa. It says, notice, but the high places, notice, were not removed. It says, notice, nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. Here we have God giving a good compliment about a good king, King Asa. God says, you know, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days, but nevertheless, you know, one criticism about Asa is that the high places were not removed. Go to 1 Kings 22, look at verse 43. 1 Kings 22, verse 43. 1 Kings 22, verse 43. 1 Kings 22, verse 43, it says, notice, and he, this is Jehoshaphat, walked in all the ways of Asa, his father. He turned not aside from it. Notice, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Another good king. God's saying, you know what, Jehoshaphat, this is a good guy. He did that which was right. But notice what it says. It says, nevertheless, Here we have God just throwing this little criticism. Nevertheless, notice, the high places were not taken away. For the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. Another criticism. God's saying another good king, but there's just one thing. Just he didn't remove the high places. Go to 2 Kings 12. Who would 2 Kings 12? 2 Kings chapter number 12. 2 Kings 12, look at verse number 2. And Jehoash did that, again, which was right in the sight of the Lord. 2 Kings 12, 2. It says, Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him, another good king. But it says, notice, but, here's the problem, but the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. Go to chapter 14, 2 Kings 14, 2 Kings chapter 14. Again, in verse number 3, 2 Kings 14, 3, it says, and he, again, Amaziah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Yet not like David his father, he did according to all things as Joash his father did. In verse 4, it says, notice, howbeit the high places were not taken away, as yet the people did sacrifice and burnt incense on the high places. You know, all throughout the Bible, we see most kings, they don't remove the high places. Most kings, it's God saying, this is a good king, this is a good man. Nevertheless, howbeit, the high places are not taken away. And what do we see about Hezekiah? He actually removed the high places. You know, what is it about the high places? You know, why is it that people won't take them away? We'll go to 2 Kings 17, if you would. 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings 17, look at verse number 9. And in verse 9, we have God telling us why Assyria took the northern kingdom of Israel into captivity. 2 Kings 17, verse 9, it says, and the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God, and they built them high places. See, the Bible says that the children of Israel, notice what it says, notice this word, it says secretly, in secret. See, they thought nobody was watching, doing it in secret. Those things that were not right against the Lord. Because look, when it comes to the high places, look, they're hidden. You can't see them. Why? Because there's trees, there's groves, they're far away. You can't see them. And what are people doing there? They're doing secret things that they thought to themselves, you know what? Nobody sees what I'm doing. Nobody sees what's going on here. And what do we see Hezekiah doing? In verse 4, in 2 Kings 18, 4, he says, no, Hezekiah, he was different. Why? Because he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves. And look, the high places are those secret things that nobody sees. And the truth is, look, there are some high places in your life, there are some high places that people just need to remove in their life. Amen. See, Hezekiah was willing to do a little bit more than other people. He was willing to go the extra mile against sin. You say, what are the high places? Well, it's those secret things that you think the Lord is not seeing, that you think God's not watching, that I'm covered around these trees, I'm covered around the groves. Nobody knows what I'm doing wrong. And what does God do? He sends them into captivity. Why? Because they did those things in secret, but yet all the while God saw them. You know, this year, there's some things in your life that may need to just be removed in your life. And look, and while most Christians want to be content in how they live in their life, you ought to go the extra mile when it comes to your battle against sin. Amen. And be willing to remove the high places. Those secret things that you think that nobody's watching, but yet God watches. See, I don't know what that is. Maybe this year for you, there might be some television shows that you just need to remove out of your life. Amen. There might be some apps on your phone that just need to be deleted. Amen. You see, that's a bit extreme. Well, you know what? Why don't you just go the extra mile and show God that you're willing to get right? You're willing to remove those things that maybe other people aren't willing to do, but guess what? You're willing to do it because you need God in your life, because you want God to prosper you. Look, there may be some aisles in the grocery store that you just don't walk down those aisles. There may be some bottles in your home that you just need to toss out the window. Whatever those secret things are in your life that just need to be removed, be like Hezekiah, go the extra mile and show God, you know what? I'm serious about this and I'm willing to remove those things that are secret, those things that are wrong, those things that I know I shouldn't be doing. Look, whatever that is for you, I don't know what that is for you. But we ought to be willing to remove some things in our life. And this year, I hope you have good resolutions of things you want to add in your life. But there should be some things that you're just ready to remove in your life. Go to Ephesians 4, if you go to Ephesians chapter number 4. And we see Hezekiah willing to go the extra mile against sin. Most people, they're not willing to remove the high places. But no, Hezekiah, he was willing to do it. And look, there's some things that you just might need to put away. Just remove in your life. Ephesians 4, look at verse number 20. It says, but ye have not so learned Christ, in verse 20, If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, it says, notice, that ye, notice, put off. That's removing. It says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, notice, the old man. Look, there are some things that you just need to decide in your life that they're just going to have to go. Look, if you're a grown man, look, video games need to go out the window. Look, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen. Put away the toys. It's time to get serious. It's time to go the extra mile. There are some things that just need to go. Some distractions that need to just go out the window. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Look, you got to just be willing to go the extra mile against sin. Go to Hebrews 12, if you would, Hebrews chapter 12. And look, you might be thinking, look, I'm never going to let this go. And look, you could be like most kings. You could be like most kings where God says, you know, this is a good Christian. This is a good person. Nevertheless, there are those high places. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Howbeit, there was those high places. Look, and look, the Bible said that Hezekiah, that the Lord was with him and prospered him whithersoever he went. You say, why? I wonder if it's because Hezekiah actually had a character as a Christian and was willing to remove those high places, was willing to remove things that most people just don't want to do. And look, you ought not to be content with just being an okay Christian. We should seek the Lord to be with us and to prosper us. Hebrews 12, look at verse number 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, it says, notice, let us lay aside every weight. Those are just distractions. And look, and distractions, guess what? They don't seem sinful. And they're not sinful. But God says, you know what? If you want to go the extra mile, lay aside those distractions that take away from church, distractions that take away from Bible reading, distractions that take you away from serving the Lord, from going soul winning. Look, lay those weights aside. It says, and the sin which doth so, notice, easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, I wonder if God was with Hezekiah because he was willing to actually go the extra mile. You know, look, whatever that is for you, look, you need to decide that for yourself. If there's some things that you just need to toss out the window, just remove in your life. Lay aside those things that where God can say, you know what, I am with this person. And show God, you know what, God, I'm serious about this. And I actually want you to be with me, and I want you to help me prosper. So we see the character of Hezekiah, a man who put first things first, a man who went the extra mile, but we see a man who actually walked the walk. Go if you go to 2 Kings 18, go back to 2 Kings 18. Hezekiah was a man who actually walked the walk. In Hezekiah, as we see, his faith was actually put to the test. 2 Kings 18, notice what it says about this man in verse number 5. It says, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. See, the Bible says that Hezekiah trusted in the Lord God of Israel. It says, like nobody else. And you know, that's something we all want to say, right? I trust the Lord. I trust in the Lord, right? Don't we all want to say that? But you know, this is something that you actually show God that you do, that you trust him. And we see Hezekiah's faith was put to the test. And it says here that he trusted in the Lord God of Israel like nobody else, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. Go to 2 Chronicles 32 again, 2 Chronicles 32. We see Hezekiah was a man who actually walked the walk. Because look, it's easy to say, I trust in the Lord. It's easy to say, yeah, of course I trust God. But there's a difference between saying it and actually doing it. 2 Chronicles 32, here you have Sennacherib, king of Assyria, wanting to take over Jerusalem, verse number 1. It says, after these things, in verse number 1, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities, notice, and thought to win them for himself. You know, it's hard to picture this because today when it comes to war, you know, people shoot things from miles away, they shoot missiles, they don't see each other. But look, during this time, look, when somebody's going to war with you, guess what? They show up to your doorstep. They show up in your face. And here we see Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, the power of the world, showing up to Hezekiah, wanting to take him over. And look, and Hezekiah just saw Assyria a few years ago take over and capture the northern kingdom of Israel. He sees them taking over the entire world. And now he's showing up at his door. But notice the words that Hezekiah says in verse number 7. Notice what he tells the people. In verse 7, he says, notice, be strong and courageous. He says, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And notice, and the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. See, Hezekiah said to the people, he said, don't be afraid. And look, if you read the story, we read it, what they wanted was an agreement. He says, they said, give me an agreement by a present. Just serve the king of Assyria, or we'll destroy you, or we'll kill you. And you know, we read this story, and we think to ourselves, well, of course, I'd be just like Hezekiah. You know, I would trust in the Lord. I would do what God wants me to do. I wouldn't give in. I'd trust in God and know that God would fight for us. And notice, God does fight for Hezekiah. Notice verse number 20. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 20 says, notice, and for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed and cried to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains of the camp of king Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was coming to the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with the sword. Verse 22, thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand, notice, of all other, notice, and guided them on every side. See, we also see that God guided, he led him. And we see what? We see God saving. It says the Lord saved Hezekiah. And, you know, we think to ourselves, we think, man, I would be just like Hezekiah. Think about it. If you're the one man, if you're the leader of your nation, and you know you're physically overpowered, and they're showing up at your doorstep, you know, we'd like to think, man, I'm just like Hezekiah. I would just pray to God and just know that God would deliver me. And, you know, we say that we trust the Lord, but the truth is our talk is cheap. Right. The way we show how we trust in the Lord is by actually walking with the Lord, by doing what he says, by actually showing him that we actually obey his commandments, even when things don't seem like they'll work out. And look, when things don't seem like they'll work out, this is how we know when you trust the Lord. Go back to 2 Kings 18, if you would, 2 Kings 18. And look, verse number 5, 2 Kings 18, 5, it says, notice, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. It says, for he clave to the Lord. It says he was stuck to the Lord. He didn't want to leave the Lord. The same way when you get married, you become, it says, leave father and mother and cleave unto your wife. Why? Because you become one flesh. And here we see that Hezekiah, he's with the Lord. How is it done? It says, and departed not from following him. It says, but kept his commandments. It says in verse 7, and the Lord was with him. You see, you know, we think, of course, I'd be like Hezekiah. Of course, I trust in the Lord. And you know what? But instead of, you know what scares us? Instead of a mighty army coming and showing up to our doorstep and saying, hey, I'm going to kill you and your whole nation unless you serve me. You know, we think, well, of course, I'm just going to trust in God. And yet we read such simple things in the Bible. When God says, you know what, I want you to tithe 10% of your increase. It's like, well, I trust in the Lord, but now we're talking about my money, Lord. Tithe? Pay? Owe? You? I thought I told you I trusted in you. Isn't that enough, God? If I just tell you I trust in you and just do my own thing, is that really trusting in God? When God says, you know what, the way I want you to listen to your husband, wives, is by submitting it unto him as unto the Lord. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, Lord. I trust in you, but that's a little bit extreme. I thought the Bible says that we're, as husbands, we're supposed to love our wives and help them learn, help our kids grow, lead them, guide them. It was like, well, I trust in you, Lord, but isn't that enough for me to tell you? Look, we say we trust in the Lord, but yet the smallest things shake our faith. If God says, I want you to go out there and preach the gospel to all nations, to go soul winning, it's like, well, wait a minute, Lord. You know, I trust in you and all, but you know, that's enough. Isn't it enough, Lord, that I just tell you that I trust you? No, see, trust is something you actually show the Lord. When you're willing to obey him, to cleave unto his commandments, do what he says, even though it might seem contrary to what you think or believe. Go if you go to Proverbs 3, if you go to Proverbs chapter 3. And we see Hezekiah, he didn't just talk the talk. And look, you can talk the talk if you want. Because look, you're not proving anything to me. You're not proving anything to your pastor. You're not proving anything to each other. You're proving things to God. And look, at the end of the day, God knows. God knows if we trust him or not. God knows if we believe him or not. And look, we saw this verse when Pastor preached the Build Your Life on the Bible. You know, what was he saying? He said, you got to know what the Bible says. You got to trust what the Bible says. And you got to actually do what the Bible says. Amen. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Oh, this is such an easy concept. Don't we all know this? And lean not unto thine own understanding. Another sermon on being in church. Do I really need church every day this year? Do I really need to go soul winning every day this year? Is that what the Bible says? Do I really need to tithe? I mean, I'm telling God I trust him. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Notice, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall, notice, direct thy paths. And I like what Pastor was saying when he preached this point. He said, stop thinking. You're not good at it, you know? It's like, just obey the Bible. Amen. And look, this, and we think it's so hard. Just do what the Bible says. Amen. But what do? We show that we're actually not trusting in the Lord, that we're weak in faith. And we could say, oh, of course, I'd be just like Hezekiah. I mean, I see what happened. I would do just like him. I would trust in the Lord. And yet the smallest things, we say, well, I can't do that, God. And I trust you, but isn't it enough that I just tell you that I trust you? Do I really have to not lean on my own understanding? Do I really have to not obey you, not acknowledge your ways? And we think that this is what trust is. But you see, Hezekiah was a man who not just talked the talk, but he actually walked the walk. And I wonder why this was God, why God helped him and why God prospered him, whithersoever he went. Because look, the truth is, you will struggle this year and I will struggle this year. We will go through hard times this year. And I would hope and you would hope that God would help you and give you grace and give you strength. But you know what? Instead of just talking the talk, let's just actually trust the word of God. Amen. And show him, hey, we're serious, that we trust the Lord with all our heart. It says he trusted in the Lord God of Israel so that there was nobody like him among all the kings of Judah. Go back to 2 Kings, if you would. Actually, go to 2 Chronicles 31. 2 Chronicles 31. We see Hezekiah, a man of character. A man who was willing to put first things first. Who prioritized the house of God. Who wanted other people to prioritize the things of God. A man who actually went the extra mile and was willing to remove those high places in his life. A man who did not just talk the talk, because talk is cheap, but he actually walked the walk. 2 Chronicles 31, look at verse number 20. It says, notice, and thus did Hezekiah, in verse 20, throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was, notice, good and right and truth. Notice what it says. It says, before all the people. Is that what it says? It says, before the pastor, before the pastor's wife, before the church members, before the people who see me. No, it says, he wrought that which was good and right and truth. It says, before who? Before the Lord his God. I like how it says. It says, the Lord his God. You know, I believe, obviously Hezekiah wasn't perfect. If you read the story, he made mistakes in his life. But you can see that this man, he had a personal walk with the Lord. He trusted in him. He walked the walk. He went the extra mile. He put first things first. And he knows, look, at the end of the day, when you do good and right, you don't do it for other men, you do it for the Lord. Amen. And you may think that those high places are going to keep things in secret, but look, God sees everything. God knows what you're doing. God knows where you're at. And God, the Bible says here that Hezekiah did that which was good and right and truth, notice, before the Lord his God. Go to 2 Kings 18, and we'll finish here. 2 Kings 18. Because look, I would hope you'd want God to help you this year. I want God to help me this year. I want God to prosper every aspect of my life. 2 Kings 18, look at verse number 7 again. It says, and the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And look, this ought to be our goal this year. And look, and I hope you have resolutions for this year. But look, our goal should be that the Lord is with us. And if he is, look, guess what? He will help us prosper and succeed. Will we go through hard times? Yeah, we'll go through hard times. You say, how will God be with me? Well, when you get the right priorities in your life, when you put first things first, when you're willing to go the extra mile and actually do more of what it takes. And instead of talking the talk, you actually walk the walk and actually trust what the Bible says. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for your word and for our church, Lord, for everyone that's here. I just pray that you be with our lives, God, and help to be close to you. And I just pray that you are with us, Lord. Be with each one of our lives. And I just thank you for all the blessings you've given us in this church. And I just pray for all of us to draw closer to you every day, every year, to get closer and closer, for you to be with us more, show us more grace, more favor. I pray that you protect all of us, help us to be pleasing in your sight in all things that we do. Lord, thank you for all the blessings. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.